Om Shanti. I hope everyone arrived here safely this morning, wading your way through the rain to get here. And I wonder whether anyone had to swim. Did anyone have to swim? In fact, earlier when I left the Muli this morning, if you notice that round area at the front of the building, there was a that's quite full of water actually, and there was a few brothers wading through it. It's about 12 inches deep. In fact, as we know, I think it's very unusual the sort of weather which we're having. As far as I know, the monsoon usually lasts until about the end of August, and by this time we come to Madhuban each year, it's always sunny, sunny, sunny. So it's a new experience for everyone. This morning we were listening to Baba's Avyakt Muli, and I think one of the interesting things of listening to an Avyakt Muli in Madhuban is that we know it's Sunday. Otherwise, often we've got no idea really which day it is. But Baba said some very sweet things as he was talking to the group of Africa, I felt anyway, and he said that this is our home. Do you really feel from your heart that this is your home? Really? And so the other place where you spend 11 months and 2 weeks of the year, is that your office? In a normal Lokic life, you know, you spend 8 or 9 hours at the office and perhaps 12 or more at home. But here, it's 2 weeks at home and 11 and a half months at the office. But really, I think that for most of us, when we come here each year, the sense of that this is where I belong, this is my home, this is my family, it becomes deeper and deeper, doesn't it? And such a beautiful feeling inside that really this is where I belong. And I think that I was just reflecting this morning, listening to that Muli, that in just 5 days Bap Dada will be coming. And this is like, I think, the pinnacle of our year, isn't it, to sit in front of Baba and listen to Baba's words. And many times I think, well, what will Baba be talking to us about this season? And all of us have a sense that time is moving on. And one of the things which I've noticed in the recent Borg message is in all of them, Baba is saying, time is short, time is short. Have you noticed that? So many times Baba's saying that. But not only does my mind go to what Baba will say, but I was actually reflecting on what Baba spoke to us about last season. Because I was here for the first Muli of the season. And I had the fortune of sitting, it was in Om Shanti Baba, and I sat right up the front, almost just underneath Baba. And I had a unique experience, which I don't think I've had before quite like that in my Brahman life, that it was almost like everything that Baba said, I felt. You know, it was almost like it wasn't just ideas that were going into my mind. I almost thought or I experienced what Baba was saying. And if you remember that Baba was saying in the first Muli of last season, two messages which sort of stuck in my mind as certain things, special things do. One was, children, be content. And secondly, Baba was saying that this year to give the cooperation of contentment to others, to become the jewel of contentment. And it felt to me, and I think Baba even used the words, that this was like the homework for us as Baba's children for this year to explore the depth of contentment and bring more contentment in my life. And I actually have an image in my mind. When I was very early in Gyan, I started my Brahman life in London. I'm not very good at dates and times, but it was fairly early. And Daddy Jenki was giving us a class, and she asked us a question. She said, "What do you love most?" She just asked, and she wanted everyone in the whole class to answer. So as you could imagine, all the answers, Baba, the Muli, Madhavanan, it was never good enough, you know. She was shaking her head, no, no, no. Then it was like, my effort, my stage, etc., etc. No, 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 no. So we said, "Daddy, what do you love most?" And I can remember almost her expression. She went, "Me." Just like that, me. And it was said with such a sense of self-dignity. You know, if another person would say it, perhaps we would say, "Goodness me, this, you know, that's the height of arrogance." But you knew it was coming from such a place of self-respect. Perhaps I could say, such a place of a sense of contentment with who I am and the part I'm playing. Because surely in this life, with so much learning, that the ultimate state of wisdom is to accept myself and accept the part I play and enjoy the part I play at all moments. And this is really, I think, what Baba's talking about when he's talking about becoming the jewel of contentment, because there's so many virtues that Baba does talk about, but sometimes he says that contentment is the crown jewel of all virtues. You know how Baba says that? It's the foundation. It's the mother of all virtues. And when I hear that sort of language from Baba, it always makes me think, I've got to really explore this much more deeply and really do the homework to see actually how much do I keep that sense of satisfaction in all the scenes of life. Because I don't think it's a small thing, is it, to be content? What do you think? Is it a small thing? When you really look at it, you know how sometimes Baba often talks in three main areas. And I often think about this because he talks about being content with the self. And this is a big thing in this journey in the confluence age, because I'm a work in progress, aren't I? It's like I've left the shore of the old, but I'm still paddling. I haven't reached the other side. I've developed so many new and beautiful qualities, but I still carry weaknesses with me. I'm still going through things, and yet, within all of that, Baba says, be content. It's possible. And then even Baba talks about being content with others. And when I think of that too, everyone else is a work in progress too. Every other soul that I interact with on a daily basis has strengths and weaknesses, is going through certain things in their lives. And yet, regardless of what they're going through, Baba says to be content in all my relationships. It's a high bar, isn't it, that Baba's offering us. And then even thirdly, Baba talks about being content with the scenes of drama. And just think in our lives, sometimes I think drama's like a moody person, you know? You know when you come in touch with a person who's very sensitive or moody, you just never know how they'll react. At any moment, they can explode or be sweet, whatever. Sometimes drama's like that, isn't it? It's just, you never know how it's going to be. And yet, within that, once again, Baba says, be content. And one of the things which I've always noticed when Baba's talking about contentment, he will always say that the main foundation of contentment in life is the experience of attainment, of spiritual attainment. This is something that Baba refers to time and time again. That the more I taste peace, purity, love, happiness, power in my life, the more I taste that attainment, the automatic byproduct is this sense of satisfaction about who I am, the sort of person I am and the sort of life I'm leading. But perhaps there's the flip side too, that whenever I feel discontent in my life, perhaps there's one reason for it, as Baba's saying, somewhere there's a lack of attainment. It's like a message to me from the drama that there's a lack of attainment. Even though many times what I tend to do is point the finger to the messenger. The messenger will be another person. The messenger will be a situation. The messenger will be so many different things. And that's where my attention goes. And yet really what the drama is telling me is that I have to explore a deeper level of attainment in this area. Because it's absolutely true, and my own personal experience is, when the heart is full, I tend to find everything easy. So many times I've had the experience of sitting in yoga with Baba and really feeling full, and I find that when I come out of meditation, my behavior is different. Have you noticed that? Your sense of the tolerance levels are higher, the ability to absorb things, the ability to show compassion rather than react. All of these things there because the attainment has taken me to a point of contentment where it sort of softens my interaction with the drama. And yet, for me, I think there's many different, in a sense, types of contentment. And one of them which I think of is, it's sort of like a conditional contentment. This is perhaps the sort of contentment which we have before we become a Brahman. That a lot of my, it's limited of course, but my contentment comes from, you know, my role in life, my career, relationships, status, wealth, all those sorts of things. It's often what I call the outside-in approach to life, that this is the heart of body consciousness. I look outside to fulfill my needs inside. I'm looking outside to get everything I need inside. And so because I'm so dependent on outside, the result is I become a complete control freak. In the sense that I want certain things, so I want to control it so it feeds me the needs that I want. And we know that when the more I become controlling, yes, sure, I get my needs fulfilled sometimes. I have a little bit of contentment, but many times there's a deep sense of discontentment. And sometimes the thoughts which go along with this sort of thing is that, you know, I want it to happen in the way I want. There's contentment. If it doesn't happen, there's discontentment. So that fluctuation is there. But I think there's also like a superficial form of contentment. And this is a contentment which I think many of us sort of explore or experience in Brahman life, which is based on perhaps what we'd call subtle desires. And sometimes there's a whole shopping list of subtle desires in the soul that we've collected over a long period of time. The desire to be appreciated. If I'm appreciated, I feel a bit content. If not, those feelings of anxiety and discontent. If I'm respected, I'm content. If disrespected, discontent. We know all these sorts of subtle desires which emerge in the soul and start to create these sort of these feelings of discontent. And what happens? Sometimes it's like a switch. I switch from that state of contentment to discontentment. It's up and down. And as we journey in this life, we begin to recognize the fallacy of this sort of way of living and start to change it. But even I think there's sort of what I would call just a temporary contentment. And this is, I think, the sort of contentment which almost all Brahmins experience because it's based on service. And it really means that we start to do service with the desire for some result in service. It's almost inevitable that we bring this. It's almost like bringing that outside-in approach into the context of Brahman life. And so we want a lot of fulfillment through my activity in Baba's service. And my own experience has been over the years that I've experienced the extremes of both sides of that. I've experienced service where you just touch something and it just magic happens, just incredible things happen. It's just a wonder, you just watch it and there's just so much fulfillment through it. And I've experienced touching things and just absolutely nothing happens. You know, it's just like completely flat, absolutely no result at all. And I feel it's an essential part of the learning curve in this life to go through both things, because it starts to teach me that all these things, they do give some sort of attainment and therefore contentment, but they're all limited. And ultimately, as I experiment with all of them, whether they're limited desires or whether it's service or whatever, I keep coming to the point there has to be a deeper level of attainment. I remember once in Sydney we did this big program and Daddy Prakashmani was our special guest. It was called Pathways to Higher Consciousness, and it was just an amazing event, a wonderful event, a full day program for about 2,000 people. And afterwards we went to one of the centers and everyone was very intoxicated, and Daddy sat the front and we had some meditation. And the first thing she said to us, she said, "Congratulations, well done. But if no one came, would you still be as happy?" I remember she said. And it's like that I think many times in Brahman life, a lot of these sort of temporary levels of attainment, we still explore them. We get something from them, but we experience the flip side. And this is why I think Baba's form of contentment is unique. Because Baba is ultimately teaching us that really all true attainment comes from that which is eternal. The things like Baba, Baba's knowledge, Baba's qualities, we can say yoga experiences, soul consciousness, the wonder of all these things is that they're permanent and that they're always available. They're not limited and they're not temporary. And that is something which I think it's easy to know intellectually, that the foundation of true attainment is really just from Baba and all these things. And yet the problem is we've had an addiction to these other forms of contentment or attainment over a long period of time. And so we're often a mixture of many things. And I remember hearing a story about an experiment that a scientist was doing about with a little fish in a tank. And this little fish was in his little tank, and he was swimming around his tank in the laboratory. And the scientist was putting food in one end of the tank, and the fish would go and eat. But after a while, he put a glass wall right in the middle of the tank. Now the fish was in one end, and the food was in the other end, his food source. And so the little fish would swim around, kept knocking his nose on the glass. And so after a while he learnt not to do that and he just began to swim in one half of the tank. The scientist took the glass wall out of the tank and started to put food in the other end. But the little fish just kept swimming in one half of the tank. Even though there was no glass there, there was food at the other end of the tank. And it's a sad story, but the little fish died of starvation. And I think sometimes it's a little bit like us in a way that we sort of know that there's an open tank and Baba is feeding us at one end, but we're so addicted to swimming in one part of the tank and we know that there is attainment through certain limited things that it has just become an incredibly deep habit in us just to swim in that part of the tank. And this is why I think it's a sort of a self-education to learn how to start to really explore and ask myself honestly, absolutely, what is the foundation of my contentment or my attainment in life? What is it? To look really deeply. It's a really good question to explore while I'm here. So I remember when in my early days when I came here, and many of us were here at that time too, that we used to have personal meetings with Baba. They were very, very sweet times. And in the early days in the 1970s, they would be in the history hall or in the meditation hall. And, you know, we'd sit in front of Baba and take drishti, and Baba would give us blessings. And actually, a few times, and Baba would then, you know, speak the specialty of the soul. And a few times Baba said to me that your specialty is contentment. And you know, when Baba says something like that, it really makes you think. Because often I think it's not so much that's what you are, that's what you can be. This is Baba's cleverness, you know. It's like he gives you the power to become that. Because in a sense, for me, I've found that contentment is like, it's coming home to a beautiful place in myself where I really belong. You know, a beautiful place deep inside the self which is so stable and so easy. And it's a wonderful space that's away from expectations and self-pressure. It's just absolutely in a state of being. You know, this a real state of self-acceptance. It's like a place of self-acceptance in myself. And I just absolutely love to visit that place because I feel that there's just so much truth when I sit in that place. There's so much sense of, this is really where I belong. And when I'm there, it's like there's such a closeness to Baba at that time. And sometimes I just love to strip everything away and just sit with Baba in that place. It's just a place of total simplicity. And often I think that, you know why, you know, a lot of the real yogi souls, you notice they're very simple people. In a natural way, they don't have desires. Because I think when the soul tastes on that level, it's so quenched, the thirst is so deeply quenched. It's not that I'm suppressing desires or suppressing things. It's absolutely a natural, I'm fulfilled. There's a sense of fulfillment. And I think that for me, you know, really at the heart of so much contentment is the experience of God's love, is Baba's love. And when I really taste that, the soul becomes satisfied, the relationship with Baba. And it's something which is just at the core of this study. It's something we have to revisit again and again because I was thinking about it last year. I'm a person who loves the easy path. I don't know about all of you, but if there's an easy way of doing things, I prefer it than the long way. And I really feel that the fast track in this life is to sow the seed deep in the sanskaras of all relationships with one Baba. Because there's a deep secret I feel that when I sow that seed in my sanskaras, it networks with all the original pure sanskaras on an automatic way. And it's almost like I bring out attainment within the self, almost automatically. You know, I remember Dadiji, someone asked her, Dadiji, why are you the instrument for the yajna? Why did Baba select you out of so many? And straight away she said, from the day of birth I had one Baba and none other. And this is to be interpreted properly because, as you can see, Dadiji's got the biggest and warmest heart for everyone. She loves everyone. She's close to all. But at her foundation is one Baba. And what I've noticed is that when that seed is sown in the sanskaras, it will network with the original sanskaras. It's almost like a natural sense of attainment. Just like when I become dependent on a person, when there is a particularly special relationship with another, that seed networks with all my old sanskaras. Just sow that seed and it seems to network with a lot of other old weaknesses. You know what I mean? And it's like that pulls me down too. And so I think there's a really deep secret in this. And yet even, you know, understanding this form of contentment, the journey to contentment, I think, is my experience is it's quite a journey. As Baba says, this is the pinnacle of this life. And in a way, the way I've sort of observed in myself, it's like a journey of self-acceptance. You know, over a period of time, can anyone hear? I think I'll have to accept the rain for the time being. Should I continue? It's okay? I can hardly hear anything I'm saying up here. But it's like this, I think, this incredible journey over a period of time to accept myself in any company and in any scene of life. I'm content with who I am. What a beautiful life. What an incredible life if I can achieve that. I remember some years ago that I came back from Madhuban and I was thinking that actually it doesn't really matter in this journey in Brahman life if I make a mistake. Mistakes will happen. If there's a failure, there are failures in my efforts in service. Even if there's criticism, that doesn't matter. What matters is if I allow it to rule my sense of self. If I allow those things to take away my sense of contentment. In other words, it's like these things have more power over my sense of self than myself. And I think that, you know, even when I came into Gyan, I think there was two sanskaras I noticed in me that were really perhaps created discontentment. And one of them was quite a deep sanskar of wanting to please others. You know, that sort of sanskar. And often that meant that, you know, others, you know, my sense of self was more controlled by others than myself. And maybe another sanskara too was sometimes there was this internal pressure I'd put on myself and an expectation. You know, the expectations. We often talk about expectations. Actually, the main ones are the ones we place on the self to be something. You know, to live up to my own standards. Actually, it's my own standards which are often the things which put most pressure on me. And I noticed that on the journey, that as you chip away, the effect of these sanskaras has become less and less and less. And I think, you know, it's just such a great freedom when this happens, because the more I think I let go of these things, once again, it's like I don't just occasionally visit such a state of self-acceptance and contentment. It becomes my natural state. And I can remember early in my Brahman life, right within the first few months, I came into Gyan with another brother. And we were quite good friends, and we used to go to the center. And, you know, I sometimes for a period of time, I remember Daddy praised him a lot, you know, gave him a lot of praise, and didn't say much about me. I got a little bit jealous, you know. And I can remember just that funny feeling which you may have experienced where you're going through this, you're sort of observing it on one level and just saying, no, this is silly, you shouldn't be like this because this is the reality. And yet the sanskara or the feeling is still happening. You know that sort of thing? There's two parts. One is observing it and the other part is feeling it deeply. And yet I had a very, very strong feeling during that whole episode that this is a life that ultimately the quest is to become content with myself in every scene. And I often remember my first meeting with Baba, and I often mention it because, you know, if anyone says to me, what was your most life-transforming experience? It was sitting in front of Baba for the first time, and I was very, very, very new in Gyan. I don't remember exactly how long, but it was about 2 months and a few weeks. And it was in the history hall, and Baba spoke the Muli, and there was 3 foreigners in the audience at that time, listening to Baba. And I just sat in front of Baba, and Baba would meet the soul through drishti, and it's like Baba looked so deep into the soul. It was such an extraordinary feeling. And I felt like an open book. And it was like Bubba was looking through the whole part. Like his vision was like a laser beam exploring all the nooks and crannies of my soul. And you know, if a human being was to do that, you'd become quite defensive, you know, perhaps. But I felt absolutely comfortable. And my experience was somehow that Bubba's vision fell on the original, pure, elevated, if I can say, the contented part of me. And it's almost like his vision massaged that to the surface. It was somehow I felt I was introduced to the original me, the true me, just through Bubba's drishti. And there was such a wave of contentment that came into me that I've often felt that that particular experience changed me forever. Because I think there was a huge step in this step of just accepting myself on a much, much deeper level. Because many times I think when we come to Bubba, Bubba says, children, be pure. You've got to become perfect. There shouldn't be a blemish in the soul. And so, you know, we've only a few months in Gyan and we hear all these things. And so often we just sort of become an image, you know? We just live up to an image. We just become the image. We look the part, we talk the part, we act the part, but inside there can be raging discontentment and lack of self-acceptance. That can happen sometimes. And I think that it happens to all of us. I think that's the bhakti sanskara sometimes, to look appropriate on the surface, but sometimes to suppress things internally. But I think that, you know, as we go on, there's a beautiful lesson that each Brahman has to learn, and that's that in this process where I'm still working on myself, still making effort, I can accept myself in this process even though I'm not complete. Because sometimes the idea is only when the soul reaches the final destination can there be true contentment. And maybe in a very academic way that is true. But I think it's like what I've learned over the years is to accept myself in the process of change. Be merciful. And the way I've been able to do this is rather than looking how far I have to go, if you always compare yourself to perfection, there's always a huge gap. There's always a feeling I'm a long way away. So there's a sense of not real contentment. But on the other hand, if I see how far I've gone, you know, actually, it is unbelievable that each one of us sitting in this hall has achieved so much in this life. It's, you know, I think sometimes we don't give ourselves credit to actually for how far I have gone. I've got to educate myself to see that I've actually gone a long way along this journey. And not always compare myself with perfection, because sometimes it's very hard then to have that sense of contentment as I move along. And I think another thing which I've learned, which sometimes doesn't allow us to sustain a sense of contentment on the journey, is what I would call the sanskara of rejection. Because once again, you know, Bubba takes us, he is the teacher. The teacher has to set the highest standard. So the teacher will say, children, be pure, be benevolent, have good wishes for all, a whole list of things. And what I do is that when I'm not like that, I often reject myself based on this impurity. You know, this old, it's a very Tamo Pradhan sanskara, this sanskara of rejecting, of pushing out, of pushing away. Because you just think of it in a relationship. If someone is openly rejecting of you, how do you feel? It's, you know, as yogis, Bubba says, you know, be light. But, you know, most times people feel hurt. It's almost the same. As I reject myself, it's like I hurt myself. I continue the damage that's there. And it's almost like I have to see that, you know, not to push my old self aside, I actually have to heal, not reject it. I have to heal it. And I think that's what I've learned too, to become very gentle. And even in my self-talk to myself, look at the language you use in your mind. Do I speak to myself with respect and gentleness and understanding? You know, often I've thought about compassion. You know, we often always think about it for others, but I think, how much do I actually have compassion for myself? I should have. I've taken on the highest quest that any human being can take on. The highest quest. And on that quest, occasionally there'll be ups and downs. If I show compassion, gentleness, forgiveness, but keep going, I think it's really important. But sometimes also, there's this sort of self-acceptance as we go along of, you know, I would say my role or my part. And I found that's often something that a lot of Brahmins feel quite confused about. We love Baba, we love this life, I love being a Brahmin, but what's my role? What's my role, you know? I've heard that so many times. What's my role? What's my part? Sometimes it's almost like we want someone to come down and give me a written job description, you know. This is your part in the Brahmin family. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. It just emerges. And one of the things which I feel is that why we sometimes have such a deep feeling, there's no doubt I have experienced that as a Brahmin, we need to be close to Baba and have a purpose within this life. There's no doubt about that. But this sort of relentless need to have a role is based on what I feel, this half a cycle of getting all my attainment from doing. You know, the addiction, the culture of doing, doing, doing as the basis of my experience. And yet Baba's creating a whole new thing, which is being. Baba wants us to have the foundation as a state of being. It's almost, what is my role? It's to be a peaceful soul. It's to be a loving soul. It's to be a soul that has good wishes and pure feelings. It's the being, in a sense. And often, when that role is right, what actually happens in action, I find, just often falls into place. But what happens is that in this quest to find my role, sometimes it has a purpose, whether in the family or on surface, because it emerges all the sanskaras of ego. And you know, sometimes they're suppressed or they sit in the soul for the first few years, but at some point they have to come out, I think, because they're sort of sitting there somewhere. That's my experience, honestly. As soon as someone says, oh, would you like to run the center? I can guarantee you whole new sets of sanskaras will emerge in me. It's almost like that's the way the drama is going to teach me about my own ego. And all these things start to manifest, which I'd never seen in my behavior before. Sometimes I was so easygoing, and then I start to become very controlling, and all these sorts of things emerge. But actually, it's in service and within the Brahmin family that I can actually learn about my ego, and I start to, you know, create that beautiful fragrance after a while where I think we let go. And, you know, I find, what is the fragrance of the daddies which we love so much? It's this such a fragrance of being so great and yet so humble, you know. They're so humble, so egoless, and it's so attractive to see such a leader or a great soul that's just absolutely humble. And it's this process, I think, on the service field. We carry all those sanskaras of ego, and the service field will teach me to die alive, whether I like it or not. It'll chip away at all those feelings. And so we begin to accept my part deeply. And sometimes I think, you know, it's almost like the part is scored in the memory track of the soul, the whole part, every millisecond of the cycle. And it's rather than me tuning into thinking my part is to teach and do all that. No. It's like I tune into this deep part of being, which is who I really am, scored deeply in the soul. That's the true part in the soul. Even, I think, on this journey to contentment, we have to accept my abilities and my capacity. And not sort of compare myself with others. And that's not a small thing, is it? When you come to Madhuban and you sit with this amazing family, there's so many specialties. Sometimes, you know, we start to think, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that, and look at me, you know, that sort of and yet, I think that what I've learned, a really important lesson, I think, is to know what qualities I have and what I can do, but also equally important to know what qualities I don't have and what I can't do and accept that. And I can tell you that's been a big personal positive for me. Just because sometimes we think we have to be everything to all people. We have to know how to do absolutely everything. No one does, I don't think. Rather than just having that self-respect to say, yes, I have this specialty or I have this. Not to be attached to it, but... And then if others have a specialty too, then I tend to appreciate that. I'm not always trying to be... As soon as I see someone else's specialty, I try to become that too. And so you can see that as we move along the path, there's this lovely sort of growing of self-acceptance as we learn. And to me, the whole thing is patience and more patience. I once heard Daddy Jenki again say to somebody, somebody said, Daddy, what's the most important thing on this journey? Daddy said, three things. First one is patience. The second one is patience. And the third one? Correct, patience. What do you feel? I feel that's just so true. You need so much patience as the soul comes out of all these sanskaras of ego and self-rejection and all these sorts of things. And I start to nurture this beautiful sense of satisfaction and contentment in myself. But to me, honestly, my experience is the key to contentment, the main key to turn the experience of contentment is the experience of love. And this is just not ordinary, but the deep, rich, pure love of Baba. Because my experience is when I really taste that love from Baba, then I just find in almost an automatic way I feel easy about who I am. A bit easy about what's happening, you know? Does it really matter? Because you're already satisfied. And to me, that love is like the first desire of the human soul, the first need of the human soul. It's Baba's first gift to us, and I have to learn how to completely absorb Baba's love, because that's the easy road to a deep sense of contentment when I'm able to taste that experience of Baba's love. And what I love to do in meditation these days, you know, to me, the method of meditation for me at the moment, last few years, has just been really, once I'm really established in a state of soul consciousness, just to allow myself to be completely loved. You know, like give myself permission. This is the only time that I can taste a quality of love from Baba. The only time. You know, I remember a few years ago, Baba said, what's the difference between the love of human souls and the love of God and God's love? And Baba said that this is the only birth you'll taste this love. For the other 83 births, you get love from deity souls and souls. And he said, actually, this love made you lose the fortune of the kingdom. It's pretty deep, isn't it, when you think about it, that it's the time to really, you know, taste that quality of love. Because what happens is a subtle thing. If the soul isn't nurtured so deeply by the pure tonic of Baba's love, then all sorts of other desires kick in to compensate that lack of experience of love. That's when the need for recognition, the need for you to support me, the need for you to like me, and all that stuff which creates such a headache starts to kick in. Because it's almost like these desires begin to emerge within the soul. It's almost like, as much as I don't experience love, that's how much these desires start to take over. And then such feelings of discontentment. You know, and sometimes, you know, discontentment comes, and one of the great weapons of discontentment is blame, you know? Blame is a very powerful weapon of discontentment. And yet, I remember once Baba said that the soul who is content experiences everyone to be blameless. I really love that. The soul who's content experiences everyone to be blameless. You know, otherwise I think sometimes there's feelings we can feel, you know, sometimes we're always critical. There's this chronic criticism of people at the center, you know, the instrument soul, the service. There's just this chronic critical feelings that are there. There can be, or there's always this sense that I'm not included, I'm undervalued, you know, all that, you know, all those sort of feelings. But actually, they're symptoms of something deeper. Yes, the instruments aren't perfect, no center is perfect too, but it's a symptom really that the attainment is not really there from Baba. And it's almost, rather than looking at the instruments, looking at the center, trying to correct and spending all my energy, what I've got to do is start to look more of where is the lack of attainment in me that's making these chronic sort of thinking and feeling disturb my state of happiness and peace. And so, to me, at the absolute heart of this life of contentment is this really sweet experience of Baba's love. And then sometimes we might say, well, how do I experience that? You know, I think that it's a part of, this is a life of self-education actually. We've got to teach ourselves. To me, I just sat and I love to feel Baba's drishti on the soul, and I give myself permission to be loved. And if there's anything coming in between, then I try to see, what is it? What is it that I'm putting in between me and the experience of pure love? Because at least in my Brahman life, I feel that there's no other thing that will make the soul healthier than this experience of Baba's love. This is the thing which will make the soul so healthy, happy, and deeply content. Because I think, you know, the more I go on this journey of self-acceptance, then this relationship with one Baba becomes strong, contentment will automatically come. And therefore, too, I think we begin to feel more content with others around me. Look at the world today. The world is a world of everyone pointing fingers at everyone else, isn't it? It's like everyone else is the reason why I'm not happy and I'm discontent. Whether it's on a national level or on a personal level, just look at it. Such a culture of blame, such an indication of the lack of attainment inside the human soul. And yet I think the more I experience contentment within the self, there is a spiritual law, is that I will automatically feel a little bit more content with others. And the more I go on, I honestly feel that, you know, sometimes we see others and their behavior is not appropriate or not right or something they're doing is wrong or whatever. And so my sense of responsibility tells me that I have to correct this. I have to put them straight in some way. Whether I do it verbally or even mentally, my personal experience is it just does not work. I just don't think it works anymore. Maybe that was the way in the past. All that often happens is that hearts grow more distant. Even if it's a mental thing, what happens is that my mental criticism or judgment reaches, and the other soul feels something, however slight, and I can't come really close. It's like, you know, it's like I lose the love from the hearts of the other. It's sort of like, sometimes I think it's the karma of a critical mind that I there's a distance between me and the heart of another. I think that more and more today, what is Baba's method? Baba loves us. Baba accepts us completely. You know, his great gift to us is he accepts us so deeply. And how do we feel? We feel so uplifted that we want to change. And I believe that the more I accept myself, the more deeply I have this beautiful maturity. I just accept people wherever they're at. That is, in a sense, a motivation for them to change. If the paradox is, they almost feel empowered to bring change, because most of us know how I want to change. And in a sense, this is a little bit the theory of appreciative inquiry, which many Brahmins have done over recent years, as I understand it. That the old way is, where there's a problem, we start to say, where's the problem? What's the problem? Let's analyze the problem. And all that happens is the problem gets bigger. Appreciative inquiry really says, no matter what the problem is, let's see what is right, what's good. And that's where the beginning point. And that's Baba's way. Do you remember a few years ago, Baba said that if someone is, you know, fluctuating 95%, do you remember that in one of the mulis? And stable 5%, you know, to focus on that 5%. I know it's easy to say, and sometimes to do that, but that's Baba's method, Baba's way of solving these sorts of things and feeling more content with others is to have this goodwill. And what I've actually noticed myself more recently is that we know these things, we hear these things, and we actually practice them. But sometimes, you know, something is going wrong, and my sense of justice, you know, I think as Brahmins we have a very finely honed sense of justice, what's right and what's wrong. And so sometimes something's wrong, so it's almost I feel it's my duty to put it right, and so I oppose someone, I adopt the energy of opposition, which is the energy of negativity, because I feel I'm going to improve something. Once again, I think by definition, opposition, it doesn't work. But we really think that I'm helping to fix it, but actually, I'm helping to increase the problem. And I think that, you know, we can have the energy of goodwill and still talk about issues that need to be talked about. It's actually the inner vibration which is just so important. And I think that, you know, over, you know, recent years, I've really sort of tried to make a commitment to myself, you know, not to let another soul's behavior, attitude, actions disturb me. It's not that you don't notice it, but, you know, as Daddy Janki often says, you know, if I do, I become a slave to them. You know, it's like I'm bowing down in front of them. And once I think I have that sense of self-respect of my own self, my own stage, my self-acceptance, I tend to be able to tune into that and accept others and their part too. Sometimes another's part isn't very sweet to me, but I can just accept it rather than oppose it or even mentally criticize it. It's such a freedom, I feel, to be able to do that. Sometimes, you know, I've had the thoughts that good wishes, you know, is something which I think Bapdada has just emphasized so much over the last few years. Not just to heal and bring us close. Actually, that's a secondary thing. Good wishes are for my own personal progress. Because the more I create good feelings for others, I release myself to have a deep connection with Baba. Otherwise, my mind is constantly engrossed in subtle thoughts of others' behavior and all these sorts of things. And I think it's just like this sense of contentment about others and their roles. I think as we go on in Brahman life, what I feel that the more you're on the service field, the more you just learn more, accept more, And it's just a natural thing. And you get to this, I feel, maturity where much more accepting, and then everything seems to flow so much more easily. And then the scenes of drama, you know, feeling content with the scenes of drama, like the rain here at the moment. It's a very, very deep thing. I have a feeling that, you know, accepting the scenes of drama, it is a deep thing, because just like we have that sanskara of rejection of the self, sometimes even the sanskara of rejection of others, sometimes we reject a scene of drama too. We just, I don't like it, you know. And yet, if we look deeper, it's eternal, it's fixed. And it's like, if I'm rejecting this scene of drama, I haven't understood really, you know, the depth of drama. I mightn't like it so much, I mightn't be, things mightn't be happening as I want, and yet still, it's fixed, I have to be content with it. And you know, just recently in the last month or so, on a number of occasions, I've really, really practiced this thing, there is benefit in every scene. And quite honestly, not as a blind faith, just hoping. And some things have happened which weren't good, but somehow I just had that, I just knew something good would come out of it, and it always has. And I just think that it's almost like I use these scenes to learn from so I move forward, so that somehow when I look deeper into the drama, on the surface I can be disturbed, but if I look deeper, it's all fixed, and each scene is a lesson to educate me about myself and about others and so on. If I sort of keep at that level, once again, this beautiful jewel of contentment remains with the self. But, you know, I feel that it's, contentment is such a beautiful quality, and contentment is such a seed that so many other virtues do grow out of it. And sometimes I think in some of Baba's centers, all he does is just plonk one contented soul there, and that soul just radiates and does its work naturally. The service of being content is such a great service. Somehow when we come in front of someone who's content, we also, it just makes us, it takes us closer to that stage. Anyway, lunch is looming, but it's not quite yet. So I just wonder if anyone would like to ask anything or make any comments, ask any questions, please feel free. We have a bit of time, and I'm not sure what they're doing at the moment, whether there's a microphone, or if you can speak. Well, you know, sometimes, she said, scenes we reject this time round, do we get the choice to accept them next time around? Definitely not in the cycle. Because the cycle is as it is. That's why the secret of the drama is that it is an eternal scene. And if I miss the chance to learn from it now, it's like I always do. But sometimes it comes back in the next few months. Something similar happens, and maybe I can reprogram, you know, my behavior for the next time that it comes around. So there is a microphone if anyone who would like to ask anything. Yes, Mick. He's a lucky soul. He said he's so content he sits at Amrit Vela and he doesn't know what to say to Baba because he feels so content. I don't think there's anything else to do, Mick. I think you've made it because you're just being in that state. So I'd feel quite happy about it. Sometimes there's no doubt we can, I think we go through phases. This is the journey of this life, is we go through phases where there is a contentment, but some situation or person or sanskara can rattle my contentment. And that's good actually, because that's where we sometimes begin to delve deep into the knowledge to see how I can solve this and bring myself back to equilibrium once more. That's my experience anyway. Is there anyone else who would like to ask something? Very contented feeling in the hall. Yes. If I can try and rephrase that just I'll try. Can't say I'll be successful. But sometimes, you know, people become messengers for us, that they sort of, you know, they emerge things in myself. People become the instruments, as we know, to bring up sanskaras and feelings and reactions and all sorts of things. But what I was really saying is it's not a conscious thing. It's just who they are that it triggers something in me, and then automatically, you know, I start to sort of look at them rather than sort of just seeing. Sometimes they do it consciously maybe, but most of the time not. Rather than just seeing that it's a lack of something in me which is the problem, a lack of attainment, which is really where I need to put my attention, rather than the attention on the person, the situation, and the scene. And even many times after a long time as Baba's child, we still do that. The thinking goes to the analysis of all that sort of stuff, rather than revisiting a relationship or an experience. And some, you know, one of the things which I feel that we have to teach ourselves is to how to create spiritual experience inside of me, you know? So that the theory of Baba seeps down and becomes my own inner experience, so that the attainments are there. Because the more it's there, the less these things actually do touch me. That's what I feel. And so that, you know, sometimes, and I was mentioning this the other day, we were talking about Jagdish Bhai. I once asked him, what's the most important thing in this life? And he said, to have a new experience every day. And I really like that. It's to educate myself, because many times as Brahmins, we just get into this routine of based on faith often. And there's not a lot of new experiences. So, you know, things become a little bit mundane. And it's sort of like to educate myself how to open up new doorways in the soul to bring new feelings, because that is so motivating and inspiring. And I often feel that there's a spiritual law that says, as much as I have the art of detaching myself from the body, as much as I have that art to absolutely become the bindi, the incorporeal soul, that's how much I open the doorway to new spiritual feelings inside of myself. And these feelings are the attainment that sustain and nurture. So once again, my heart's full and I have a resilience to others in the scenes of drama. But if the heart's a bit empty, if it's more theory, once again, I'm very affected by all these things, and there's not that real sense of contentment, real feeling of contentment.
You said that one source of discontentment is when we don't know our role, and I find that in the Brahmin life, this is very frequent. It's a very frequent source of discontentment, especially when you don't know your specialties, or you are not enjoying your role, the things you are doing, the Brahmin, the service you are doing, etc. Even I know I see that some VKs needs some courses like SML or other courses to reflect on their own aims and so on. So as you have so long a Brahmin life, which is, some practical tools or some practical advice for understand properly and deeply the specialities and the role. You said something about this before, but I would like you to go on in that aspect.
Mm. Yeah, I think it can be quite there's layers of it in a sense, because I do feel mainly in Baba's vision, my role is to be something than to do something. And that's the first step of it. But there's no doubt that, you know, Baba, I feel for each child, Baba has a wish for the part that the soul will play. And sometimes we have such a strong desire for my own, you know, like because of my past and my specialties and my Lokic experience, I feel I should be doing this. And somehow I try it and I try it again, it doesn't seem to work well. And the other times I just feel if I really, really try to listen to Baba or listen to an instrument, one of the seniors, then sometimes they become the medium to offer a different thing which I can do. Because some have come to Baba. It's like Suryabai who spoke yesterday. I think he's like a professor of engineering and he's running the kitchens, you know. As he said, he never in the wildest dreams imagined that is what he would be doing. And I think that sometimes if we can let go my own desires for doing something and really try to feel what is it that Baba wants of me in this life, I tend to put my finger on the pulse of the part that Baba wants me to play. But it takes courage, because sometimes I might have to listen to someone offering or suggesting something which I really am not ready for, I don't expect. But I think that I feel that when the soul accepts a role that Baba is really giving, there's a deep feeling of satisfaction. Can anyone hear? Or am I just talking to myself at the moment? It's a deep feeling of satisfaction which is there. But still, I feel that Baba's main emphasis is my role is to be pure, to be respectful, to be loving, to be peaceful. And in whatever context I'm doing that, then that's fine. And that's where Baba really, I think it's the old sanskara. Sometimes I think the corporate, we bring our corporate sanskaras into Brahman life, and the, you know, our corporate sanskaras are sort of wanting a defined role and a task. And it's, sometimes it's like that, but many times it's not. And I've seen often a soul, just through its specialties, creates its own part in the family. You know, it just develops it. I've seen this many times. A soul just, and it's more their qualities that actually they create their own sort of role or part within the Brahman family. But somehow I think that thinking so much about it, is, and a lot of us seem to go through this, it does emerge all those sets of sanskaras that have been there for many births based on responsibility and authority and all these sorts of stuff. And when I start to look for my role, sometimes it can bring up all sorts of other feelings and conflicts, subtle conflicts with other people too. But in a sense, that's the journey to help resolve, work through all that stuff so that really my role is to be a child of God, an instrument of God, you know, to keep it to that pure spiritual essence. I feel that's the main part that Baba really wants from us. He said, what is the role of soul consciousness to be content? Well, everything, basically. you know, soul consciousness, how it can be described in so many ways, to be detached and loving, to be content is just another way of describing. Because when I'm soul conscious, I'm sitting in that part of myself which is the accurate way to be. And so I think there's an automatic state of self-fulfillment. A few years ago, once Baba said that another way of describing soul consciousness is self-respect. In a sense, the more I become soul conscious, it's another way of saying that I just regain all my self-respect. And when I have self-respect, I am satisfied. Another way of saying discontentment is it's a lack of self-value, it's a lack of self-respect. And that's why even last night, I think it was, we were chatting with Daddy Ratan Mahini, and she was just saying in the early days of the Yajna, Baba just had such intense focus towards soul consciousness. You are a soul and not a body. It was like an absolute focus and study. And that's the work that each one of us has to do ourselves. It's the absolute foundation. Sometimes we've heard it so many times, we don't perhaps give it the value it really needs, but it's a daily process of peeling away the layers to get to the essence of soul conscious practice. And apparently in the early days of the Yajna, Brahma Baba's total attention was towards that, because he would always say, I can only link with Baba when I'm in that state of soul consciousness. So it's very, very essential. Anyway, maybe we can finish with about 10 minutes of meditation. Would that be okay?